good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, February 4th, 2022. Howdy, Butch.
Hey, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing just great, thank you.
I hear you coughing once in a while. You still got a little bit of a cold or something, don't you?
I do. So
I don't know why it took time to catch it, but it's up to you.
What?
So I don't know why it took time to catch a cold.
Yeah, I know.
Why'd you take? Well, anyways, yeah, you did. That's all right. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. Let me just adjust my. So, do you want me to go ahead and do the market report right away?
You go right at yes.
You
man.
just threw me off there, Butch. You just threw me off. What a day it's been. Anyway, we have gold today. Let's take a peek at gold. $250 in the New York spot price after market at $18.08. Silver was up 8 cents today at $22.57. You have platinum down 11 at $1,031. And palladium was down 34, $2,384. The USDX today, it was managed to be a little to the upside, 0.08. at 95.42. Crude oil was up another $1.80 at 92.10 for your crude oil there, ladies and gentlemen. And the Dow, let's see, was down 21 points, 35,089. The S&P rose to end the best week of the year so far, 23 points to the upside, 4,500. NASDAQ was up a little over 1.5%, 2,119. Asia, I'm sure, I clicked on the wrong button here. Asia, I'm sure, was, Shanghai was lower. Everything else was green. Europe was red across the board. 10-year yield really popped 1.918%. 918. So that's about it. The big jobs report today. they're funny. They even fooled themselves, Butch. You know, it really is kind of funny. You know, you heard nothing all week long about, how the terrible jobs report was going to be because of this last variant of COVID. It took a whacking to jobs come in the first part of January, because these reports are actually taken in the first 2 weeks of the month. So that's when it was, and everybody was preparing themselves and that it was going to be a negative or only 150,000. The ADP report on Wednesday showed, it was negative 300,000 and so forth. So everybody was, I guess they just didn't realize just how good of fudgers they are, I guess I should say, when it comes to numbers. The U.S. economy added a whopping 467,000 jobs in January, despite the surge in the coronavirus cases. And and Dave and I talked about it yesterday, and I said, yeah, we'll see how much they're going to lie about and so forth. Well, they went beyond my expectations. They did a great job in that jobs report. So, it's just, just signs. Now, I don't have the actual report in front of me. The unemployment number did tick up slightly, but just slightly. And we'll probably get a little more into details on this report come Monday, but we'll break it apart a little bit more. So. And what do you think, Butch?
Well, I think that I had no idea what to think. There's nothing solid to think about. It's up in, I mean, it's like trying to nail Jell-O to the wall. I mean, what do you depend on with the Emmy report to have anymore?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just makes no sense. You know, I just think when we're talking about the jobs report that the Bankwire branch has several branches, and they closed down two of the local branches yesterday because of COVID sickness, I guess. And the health department closed down yesterday because of COVID. Now, that's what, I don't know. I just show up here to work. I don't know. But that's what's happening. It's insane. But again, when it comes to numbers from government and everything else, I don't want to believe anymore. I mean, we know most of the time they're fudging numbers or lying to us. So how do you get any specifics out of that? And then how can you have a solid opinion if you don't know the truth? That make sense?
Yeah, I get it. You know, and it's but, you know, we can look at this number, gain of 467,000 jobs. But it's an election year. I think what they're doing, though, is they're using their good news reports too early. It's a long year till we come this fall. And perhaps they should wait a little bit longer to have these types of good news reports. And again, as I said, we'll get a little more.
Hmm? Yeah, you mentioned being an election year. And, of course, you know what? Biden had a site bombed in Syria to kill a bad guy, apparently. And people are speculating maybe he wants to go to war with Russia to try to pull his numbers up. And I thought, that's insane. But you know what? I've got to think about it. It's not so insane. Who knows what they'll do to make numbers come up. So you mentioned there'd been an election. This could be a very dangerous year, if you know what I'm saying about that. Trying to save face.
Well, we've seen it in previous elections and previous administrations. Bill Clinton, he was batting zero until you had Oklahoma, and then, you know, he took off from there. So it did take that one event. I mean, look at Bush, you had 9/11. I mean, so, you know, they can attach themselves to these events that happen, and it can work out well for them. They'll use that as look how strong I am. But I'll tell you what, I saw a clip of Biden in New York with the new mayor of New York. And he's talking about guns.
Oh,
and I'll
big
tell
time.
You what, the guy made no sense whatsoever. I mean, he wasn't going on script. Obviously, and I mean, if people, I guess people like him so much, they're just willing to look the other way and say, "Oh, that's, you know, that's just Joe." But I mean, he was just rambling, and it was just, and it's not like it's just once every now and then, or what? I mean, it's all the time, and it just wasn't the sound bite to make him sound bad. It was, you know, it was his little deal. That was bad, Bush.
Kind of painful to watch, isn't it?
It is.
It really is. It's just sad. Now, he's the leader
it's
of the
sad.
Free world, supposedly. It's just, you know, I don't want to say about that. Yeah, he's coming after guns. I know it was going to happen sooner or later. We'll discuss that in a little bit, too, about wanting to sue gun manufacturers. And we'll discuss that because that's... This could heat up pretty quickly, and I have to get Larry Pratt on, the former head of GOA, on the program sometime my broadcast to discuss this, because this could get very serious very quickly. You want to hear something else that's even crazier than Biden's talk about guns? You're not going to believe this, Melody. I mean, I read it and looking right at it, and I still can't believe this is happening in our country. Why they fired a teacher for not meowing at a student? You want to hear about that one?
I got to
show you this,
know.
Folks.
I don't know if I do or not.
It's not financial.
Did the
but
teacher
it's
bark instead of meow?
Actually, she did.
Oh.
But anyway, a substitute teacher claims she was fired from a job because she refused to meow back at a child who believes they are a cat. A substitute teacher posted a video on TikTok going by the handle Crazy Name Bridget Michael, alleging she was fired by school officials for not identifying with a student who identifies as a cat as she refused to meow back at the child in class. During roll call, the teacher said she heard meowing as she walked up and down the aisles of students. I get to the third row and I hear this meow. Huh, excuse me. She narrates a TikTok video she posted detailing a bizarre incident. I start looking on the ground through the fourth row. Everything good. Go to the fifth row. Everybody's there. Then I hear meow. I'm like, okay, what's up with that? Who's doing it? And this little girl in the very front row says, you have to meow back at him. He identifies as a cat. The teacher responded by asking, is there a litter box in here somewhere? The cat child storms out of the classroom, she continued. And she said, on retrospect, she shouldn't have said roof. So anyway, they fired her because she wouldn't meow back at it. At this child who thinks she's a cat. Now, folks, that's how insane this country is. We got a president can't put two sentences together. We got children who think they're animals, and teachers agree with them. This is insanity. Melly, this is for real stuff, and I'm not making these things up. How much more insane can it get than that?
You're asking me.
She said on retrospect, maybe she shouldn't have barked at her. I'd have barked at her. I mean, folks, we're laughing about this, but this is America. And we have went to the point now that they can not only identify as the opposite sex, or four or five sexes, but they can be animals now. And if teachers don't go along with it, they get fired for it. This is absolutely insane. I mean, wonder why this nation's falling apart in every way possible. Anyway, it's laughable, but it's not funny, is it?
No, my question is, if you have a student who thinks he's a cat, was it a he or she?
It's a he.
He thinks he's a cat. What's he doing in a regular classroom anyway? I mean, where's the parents?
I don't know.
I mean, you think they get the parents for some sort of neglect if the child wasn't under some sort of supervision or something, medical something.
I just don't know. I can't. That just is so absurd. It's beyond the word insane. It's demonic. That's all I can say. That's where we're heading down. It's an evil path. That's destroying our children, period. Wow. Now, back to more reality.
Brings
here.
New meaning to Old MacDonald had a farm.
Old MacDonald had a class in school. There you go. Oh, my goodness. But this is, I read part of this article. I think it's pretty good. It's by Peter Schiff. And he's starting to put out some pretty good articles last month or so. The dollar is monopoly money supported by a Ponzi scheme. And he's right on with that statement. You said that. I've said that. It's monopoly money supported by a Ponzi scheme. The national debt quietly pushed past $30 trillion on January 31st. But that is only the tip of the debt iceberg. The American taxpayer is on the hook for a lot more than that. In his podcast, Peter Schiff and U.S. government said U.S. government borrowing and spending has turned the dollar into monopoly money propped up by a massive Ponzi scheme. On top of the federal government's $30 trillion of debt, you have to add state and local governments' debt, totaling about another $3.2 trillion. That brings the total debt to GDP ratio in the U.S. to 142%. Peter called this a shockingly high number, especially when the GDP is a bunch of fluff like ours. So much of our GDP is service sector. I think only 10% of is from manufacturing. So we have a very small portion of our GDP related to producing real wealth. And, you know, I hadn't weighed that like that for him, really, but he's right on. Service jobs are not manufacturing jobs. They're not producing anything. So if you only have 10% of the workers producing, how much GDP debt is that? But that still doesn't reveal the entire debt story. To really understand the country's financial health, you also have to include unfunded liabilities. These are payments to the government as promised to make in the future, including Social Security and Medicare. That adds another $160 trillion in liabilities to Uncle Sam's balance sheet. If you take the unfunded liabilities and add them to the funded debt, you're nearly at $200 trillion. As Peter said, this is completely unplayable. It's not going to be paid. And so what's going to happen? Well, it's going to be defaulted either honestly or dishonestly. The honest way to default is to admit you're broken and simply cannot pay. Of course, it's not going to do that. No one in Washington is willing to be honest with creditors. So the other way is through inflation. And that's what's going to happen. We're going to inflate the debt away. Mm-hmm. Wow, Melody. If that happens, how are we going to buy a loaf of bread?
I mean, we've been saying that all the time. Government needs inflation.
Yes.
Government needs it.
Yes.
It's all gobbledygook when they say they're trying to keep it. It's all lies. It's all an illusion. And we've followed up to that. I mean, we live under that illusion. There really is an alternate world. Wouldn't you say, Butch?
Well, it's a world of make-believe money. Like you say, it's monopoly money. It's not real money.
It's
world. Monopoly money. It is. It truly is. It's a world of well, it's not even really artificial. It's just not there. It's a semblance of substance, but there's no substance there. It's fluff, as you said. It's just air. And you will never get $200 trillion ever. In alternative, we couldn't pay that back. So they inflated it away. And folks, it's going to hurt. And then, of course, it's going to go to the Great Reset, which is really going to hurt. Well, there's no way out of this time. We're too far to make it come out this time in any way without destroying everything around us. You agree?
Oh, I agree. I mean, we've been far gone way before this year, last year, or pre-COVID and so forth. It's been history for a very long time.
It hurts to see it and understand how everybody's going to suffer because of this. As Klaus Schwab said, that eventually nobody would own anything and everybody'd be happy about that. Well, I don't know how that's going to work exactly. If people are panicking and can't eat, they'll do about anything to get food. So they'll give up everything they supposedly own and trade for something to eat and be happy about it. Any comments on that?
No.
I mean, it is what it is, folks. We're kidding ourselves. We haven't owned anything for years. You don't own your home. You don't own your car. If you don't pay your rent to the state or taxes to the courthouse for you to drive your automobile that you paid for, it's not yours, folks. You're renting it from the feds and the state and the county. It's not yours. It is, and I mean, you can pay for a house for 30 years and think you got it free and clear. No, you do not. Every year you get a bill from the county. If you don't pay, they'll sell that for your taxes due, and you're out in the cold.
Hey, I hear the music.
That's freedom. I do too.
And that's the break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. 1-800-375-4188. Discount Gold and Silver Trading. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. One of the funniest pictures I saw today was, probably see it everywhere on the internet, but you have Vladimir Putin falls asleep at the Olympics as a Ukrainian team is being introduced. Now, that's what the headlines say. You know, that's what they said was happening. The Ukraine's national team had marched through the stadium. So was he faking it? You know, I think he was just closed his eyes and pretending he was sleeping. Probably. But anyway.
That could be considered rude. That can be that can be considered a rude thing, you know that.
Well, it really is rude, you know. But I mean, it's Vlad. What do you expect?
You know? You never know. Well, Joe Biden dozes off and doesn't mean to. Vlad does on purpose. But anyway. Another topic here. Well, another article, I think, is. Yes, now that doesn't surprise anybody out there that goes shopping. Shoppers are caught off guard as prices on everyday items change more often. Boy, that's a fact. Airlines, gas stations, and large retailers have used dynamic pricing for years. Now others are trying to out the strategy to deal with inflation. Everyday items, from grocery staples to home decor, are being priced more like airline tickets than gasoline, where the sticker prices can move frequently within hours or days. Retailers say the price moves are in response to rising production, labor and shipping costs, and continuing product shortages associated with this COVID-19 pandemic. The price changes are happening online as well as offline, especially among smaller retailers. They've been wary of spending on pricey technology or frustrating customers, according to executives and analysts. There have been more times than not where we're almost just breaking even on products because of failure to be able to upgrade the pricing, said Jeff Walkenfield, who manages the True Value Hardware Stores in New York's Long Island. Prices go up to fast, Melody. They can't change it fast enough, so they just break even with what they're selling for because they haven't been able to raise the prices fast enough. Quick Lizard Limited, a company that sells software to help retailers automate their pricing strategies, says 75% of the roughly 100 retailers on the platform have increased how frequently they update prices in the past year, with nearly a third changing prices several times a day, up from 15% a year ago. That's how fast prices are going up. They can't change them fast enough to keep up with that with inflation, and they're either breaking even or losing money because they can't raise them fast enough. And Amanda, that's pretty much a rapid inflation. Would you agree?
I would agree.
So, I mean, it's not funny. It really isn't funny at all. I mean, but I'm thinking about these poor guys everybody, the consumer and even the retailer. If we don't, we can't move fast enough to raise the prices. So that's not a good sign.
No, it is. No, it isn't.
Go ahead.
No, I'm.
Okay. I mean, folks, that's real inflation. And we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. This year is going to be a shocking year, folks, for a lot of reasons. You just mark my words, it's coming. Now, 2 or 3 months ago, we mentioned that oil was going to be going over $100 a barrel this year. And I said a while back, it'd probably be way before the end of this year. It's going to be up to $100 a barrel. Well, you just shared it was $92 a barrel today. Mm-hmm. And now they're talking about $200 oil. $200 oil, folks, this year. This article says oil prices deepen rally above 90 a barrel toward fresh 7-year high. U.S. and global benchmarks for crude oil futures marched about $90 a barrel on Friday as a harsh winter storm raged in the U.S., piling onto myriad supply worries. The latest upswing was triggered by a cold snap in Texas, which is fueling concerns about production outages in the Permian Basin, the largest U.S. shale play. A year ago, a period of extreme cold weather has caused massive disruptions to oil production there, said Carsten Frisk, community analyst at Commerce Bank, in his note to clients. About 350,000 homes and businesses in states such as Tennessee, Arkansas, and Texas were without power in the U.S. on Friday due to the winter storm that brought freezing rain and snow. More heavy precipitation and ice was expected to hit the eastern portion of the country Friday. Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott said the state was holding up with about 70,000 out. But they went over, jumped over, and as you said, above $90 a barrel. We talked about a minute ago, $92 a barrel. And now they're talking about $200 a barrel, folks. We're going to hit the $100 a barrel probably, I would think, within a month or two, the way things are going. Who knows? If there is a war in Europe, what would that affect us? Of course it will. So I don't know how we're going to get by when prices goes to $100 a barrel, coming gas can be at least nearly $4 a gallon on average. When it goes $200, folks, what's going to happen then? What's going to happen with food costs and all other expenses that need fuel to travel? There's something behind this more than just supply and demand. I don't know if they're wanting this to collapse the economy or not, but there's something behind it more than just normal business. Mel, do you have any comments on that?
You know, I mean, we see it in so many different segments of business and various things in our lives. And I was just reading earlier today, I saw this article about Amazon. You know, we talk about the jobs report today and so forth. Amazon burns through workers so quickly that executives are worried they'll run out of people to employ. I mean, it's like, wow. How can a company burn through that many hourly employees? Their employee churn is so high that they're scared of running out of people. They've offered bonuses and everything else. Many of the 350,000 workers Amazon hired from July to October stayed with the company just days or weeks. Hourly employees had a turnover rate of about 150% every year, data reviewed by the Times indicated. That led some Amazon executives to start worrying about this, about running out of hireable employees in the United States.
I wonder why they're quitting.
Well, I guess they're not treated very well, and maybe they have to work.
Can't have that.
I'm sure it's a tough job. I'm sure it's a tough job, but you know what? Hey, I bet there's a lot of people coming across the border that'll be more than happy to be able to put a box on a conveyor belt and call it a day, you know? So, you know what?
100%
and I bet if you look at some of these cities that they're flying these folks to and moving them to, you have these big employers like Amazon and so forth, you betcha. You know, hey, American workers don't want to do it, right? So you bring in the ones from that aren't. So, anyway.
My goodness.
I would say that is fascinating. They
pay pretty good. I would say they pay pretty well, I would imagine. I don't know what the circumstances are, but that doesn't sound good at all. Pretty soon you do that, you run through the population country pretty fast. You run out of people to talk to.
Yeah, shitty, they're offering $1,000 signing bonuses to new employees. But I'm assuming that. But I think this article that they're referencing, they mentioned Denver a few times. I guess they have a pretty big thing. And well, you know, Denver has legalized this pot and so forth. So pot doesn't really, you know, make you want to work. You'd rather, you know, it does take something out of your ambition. You know, of course, you know, I'm not saying Amazon is the, you know, I'm sure there's better things to do to move up the ladder and so forth, but it's all connected, Butch.
Yeah, it is.
It's all connected. Well, and when we talk about the decline of this country, It's just not in one spot, and this is just one way of how it's all connected.
Well, it all adds together. It's a fiber of a society, and when you got to go from cat children to Amazon situation, this is a pattern. This is a fiber that makes up a country, and without fiber, it starts unraveling. There's not much left to build on. And the other article here, again, about inflation, Bidenflation. Factory orders plunged twice as much as expected. Now, folks, you have to get a thought of this pretty closely, but it makes perfect sense. New orders for the U.S.-made goods fell twice as much as expected in January, and even more than that in inflation-adjusted terms. Let me repeat that. The production fell twice as much as expected in January, and even more than that in inflation-adjusted terms. In other words, it fell quicker because these are inflated numbers and didn't make it look like as bad as what really was. The Commerce Department said on Thursday that factory orders dropped 0.4% in December, the largest month-to-month drop since the pandemic lockdown crisis of April 2020. Economists had forecast orders tumbling at just 0.2%. Factory orders are measured in normal dollars, meaning they do not take into account inflation. When prices are rising rapidly, as it did for the most of last year, even a rise in orders can actually be a contraction of output because factories may be putting out fewer goods that have higher prices. Makes perfect sense. The price of goods produced in the U.S. rose 0.9% in December, according to the Department of Labor Producers Price Index. The prices of goods less food and energy, probably a better metric for factory inflation, rose 0.5%. The index for processed materials for intermediate demand, less food and energy, which may be the best proxy for factory work orders overall, rose 0.7%. That suggests that the real orders declined in December. So that's a very good point. I mean, they declined more than they showed because the numbers of the prices went up on the goods to make it look like they produced more. Now, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
By the way, if you heard a bark, that wasn't Marcia. That was the dog one now. Anyway, so we'll move on now. But I don't have Ralton back here, but it did today. But nonetheless, that's just the way it is, and we can look at it and understand what it means. But so real numbers aren't real numbers any longer, Melody. They're not real numbers. It's like the market. It's blew up because inflation has blown it up.
Mm-hmm.
If we're back down to real money, as they say, 1970s level, the dollar, the market would be probably 6,000-7,000, not 35,000. That makes sense?
Absolutely, it makes sense.
So people see the numbers and think everything's prospering, but it really isn't. It really isn't. It's all inflated numbers. It's just like everybody got a pay raise the first year on their Social Security check, whatever it might have been. What it was going before you got it. It's inflated numbers. Mm-hmm. Everything else inflated also higher than your check did. So folks, you actually lost money the first year. As simple as I can put it. Talk about losing money, Melody. I really feel sorry for this guy. Mark Zuckerberg's net worth dropped by $31 billion. Poor guy. He's now the 10th richest person in the world. What do you think about that?
Oh, my heart bleeds.
That poor guy. Mark Zuckerberg shed $31 billion in paper profits on Thursday, more than the market caps of nearly half of the companies in the S&P 500. The one-day drop in net worth for the Meta Platforms Incorporated chief executive comes after the company's stock suffered a steep decline on Thursday following a disappointing earnings report. Mr. Zuckerberg's drop in paper wealth is greater than the entire market values of Twitter Incorporated and Delta Airlines, Inc., about $28 billion and $25 billion respectively. Despite the drop, Mr. Zuckerberg is still the 10th richest person in the world with a net worth of $89.6 billion, according to Bloomberg Billionaire Index, a ranking updated daily of the richest people in the world. You know, that is so far out of my understanding of ability that you can lose $31 billion and still have $90 billion left.
I know.
I mean, how does a person like you and I even... Gee...
You know what really, you know, people are just, I mean, and it makes them so dangerous. And I mean, 100 years ago, I mean, when we think about the, you know, the Fords and, I mean, look what these people do with their wealth. They usually don't do it for, you know, they have their own agendas and it's not good. It's not good. I saw where Soros put in $125 million into the Democratic campaigns this year, into the super PACs. $125 million.
And that's like
how,
you give
that's how our elections,
probably. I mean, you know,
yeah,
that's
talk
right.
about a fraud. You know?
Just unbelievable things, I'm telling you.
So.
And you talk about Biden and guns. Well, this article, Joe Biden renews push for lawsuits against gun makers he equates with cigarette manufacturers. Now, this article is so insane and so stupid. President Joe Biden compared gun makers to cigarette manufacturers on Thursday, asking why the farm industry had lawsuit protections that were not there to shield tobacco companies. What in the world? Townhall.com posted a video of Biden addressing the topic by saying gun makers are the only industry in America that is exempted from being able to be used, sued by the public. That, by the way, is a lie, my friends. You try to sue Pfizer.
Yeah, not about the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, exactly. You try to sue them. See what you see how far you get with that. If you get in court, you'll be years in court, and maybe you'll get some taxpayer relief. But that's it. I mean, he's speaking to the whole country. And what do many people actually know what he's talking about? I mean, if they understood, he's just flat out lying. Imagine had that been the way with cigarette manufacturers, where the heck would we be? We're in a tough shape. Why gun manufacturers? Biden suggested that gun manufacturers enjoy special protection because of the power of their lobbying ability. And he called for an end to lawsuit protections. I wonder about the power of the pharmaceuticals. Huh? How about that?
Biggest lobbyists are the banks.
They absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Gun manufacturers are the only industry in America that is exempted from being sued, and I find it to be outrageous. What a liar, right? Flat out lying. Biden has made the claim that gun makers have immunity from lawsuits numerous times before, and on April 9, 2021, Breitbart Now News pointed out that these claims are false. Gun manufacturers are protected from lawsuits in situations where a gun criminally used was legally made and is legally sold. Those protections are found in Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, PLCAA of 2005. Melody, if a product is legally made, legally sold, and someone uses it for the wrong reason, you sue, and the one that sold it. Many people killed in car wrecks every day. Are they going to start suing Ford and Chevrolet?
They probably would if they could.
They probably could, and more killed in car wrecks than guns.
Yeah. Hey, I hear the music. We're heading into the break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TimUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Back. I guess I better get started before that singing comes in. Hey, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And heading into the break, we were talking about Biden's thoughts. I don't know if it was a speech or his comments on gun control and suing the manufacturers and the lies that he tells. Regardless of whether he knows what he's saying or not, there's still lies, and he's, you know, given the script most of the time to say what he says. And you know, he actually went off, Butch, and saying that people in the, when they wrote the Constitution and so forth, that they couldn't own cannons. I'm thinking, what? I bet they could. But anyway.
Oh, my. And he also said that no amendment, I think, said is unchangeable or rock solid. In other words, he said nothing in the Constitution it can't be changed.
That's right.
Well, he said that. And then I don't guess they're changing, but they certainly are ignoring it. Put it that way. You know, they've changed it by ignoring it. And let's face it, 99% of the people, I don't want to go that high, 95% of people in the country have no idea what it says or even what the first 10 amendments are. They have no idea. It's like none of the 10 commandments. Most of them don't know them. But so unless you know what your rights are, how do you know you have them? Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
So anyway, I won't get into much detail in this next article, but GOP Representative Mike Johnson said we don't need gun reform. We need reform of lax prosecutors and the border. And he's right. They're not prosecuting criminals. You know, they slap them on the hand and run them through and turn them loose and do it again. And the borders are wide open. We don't need gun reform. We need to prosecute the criminals. And, you know, make an example of that. But, you know, that isn't happening. It just isn't happening. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 in the Bible says something along the lines that when the king doesn't punish crime immediately, it's in the heads of people to see it to do more crime. Well, that's what's happening. When the people are not punished for evildoers, why would you stop doing evil? Crime, in today's society, crime apparently does pay. People get by with it. It's just the way it is. And it's a sad thing to have to say about a country, but whenever they ignore crime and don't even arrest shoplifters any longer, in certain places like California, what's the deterrent to stopping the crime? If I can go in and shoplift $500 worth of goods and get out the door and nobody says anything to me, well, Melody, why should I go to work? I can take care of myself by going to the stores and robbing places. And I mean, that's just the way it is. You want to add anything to that?
No, you're good.
I mean, it's just, how do you handle that? I mean, you can't really blame the criminals in. Morally you can, but in the sense that they're getting by with it. It's like letting the child have all the cookies you want all the time. You can't really blame a child to get you in the cookie jars. They've never been taught not to. That's just the way the system works today.
Yeah, and you're going to see more and more like your little petty theft and things like that because, I mean, it's like everybody gets away with everything. It doesn't matter. So, yeah, you're going to continue to see things, worsen as far as the crime and so forth. We have Dave calling us, Butch. Dave from Massachusetts.
Hey, Dave.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the program.
How are you? You know, speaking of people let government officials letting people get away with crimes, that reminds me of the district attorney of Suffolk County, which Boston has sitted. She was recently appointed as the United States Attorney from Massachusetts. She was one of those leftist loony bin kind of prosecutors who said, "Oh, I'm not going to prosecute shoplifters or." Yeah, you think that could contribute to an increase in crime? You know, the prosecutors say, "Oh, I'm not going to prosecute for this crime or that crime or the other crime."
Oh my! That's just par for the course.
The thing that really wanted me to call you, I heard you mention, the dirty old man who, senile dirty old man who claims to be president said, "Oh, they couldn't own cannons back in colonial days." So, to which I would add, I cynically tell, politicians or public officials or anyone else who I can, get the ear of, they say, "Okay, you say, oh, Mr. and Mrs. America shouldn't be able to own, for the sake of an argument, I'll call it an AK-AK gun. That's a terrible thing that criminals use. Okay, well, if Mr. and Mrs. America are not allowed to own an AK-AK gun, then the United States Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Air Force, the United States Marshal Service, all the federal police agencies, all your National Guard, state troopers, the county sheriffs, the municipal police, and any other government body of arms, they're not allowed to have an AK-AK gun either."
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the Second Amendment was actually meant to be that the citizen was as well armed as the military, and a standing army, by the way, was not to be tolerated in the country. We now have standing armies all over the world. But anyway, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. But anyway, that's another thing I've noticed in many state constitutions. They say standing armies in time of peace, intolerable to liberty and ought not to be, permitted.
Yes. That's true.
Yeah.
That's pretty true. Anything else?
No, I guess you were talking about civic ignorance, and if I had my way, one of the things you would have to be able to do in order to qualify to vote to be able to pass a basic civics test. And here's another qualification that I would add to: you could pass everything else but fail on these 2 points, and those 2 points I would call the Ninth Amendment, clause, and the Tenth Amendment clause. If you don't get those right, well, then as far as I'm concerned, you may as well get everything else wrong. Ninth Amendment, the whole idea was, the Tenth Amendment, the Ninth Amendment, reserve rights. Just because you don't see a right listed in either the Bill of Rights or your state, either Bill of Rights or Declaration of Rights, doesn't automatically mean that people don't have that right. And the other problem is that too many people have a warped view of rights. They seem to think that, oh, I'm free to do something, that's my right. No, it has to have some kind of morally justified basis. In the eyes of the Creator.
That's true.
The 10th Amendment, the clause, how many people I hear saying, well, the federal government will need to do this. It doesn't say the government can. Well, it doesn't say the government cannot. Well, you know what that means? If it doesn't say the government may, well, then that means the government may not, meaning the federal government. And many state constitutions have similar clauses, too. So, to me, allowing somebody who is civically illiterate to vote or to hold public office or to speak at a public meeting or sit on a jury, to me, that's akin to hiring a plumber who's never heard of a water shut-off valve.
That's pretty true, Dave. Good points.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Well, have a good weekend. Hopefully you have some good guests next week.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
I will
call.
Okay, good call. Thank you. Good
yes.
call.
Stay
sweet
warm.
It really
that
is.
Storm is heading up your way, or I think if you haven't already received it. So thank you, Dave.
Okay. Anyway, back to the article. You're running out of time quickly here. Now, Melly, this is for real. No, I'm going to make this up. This is out of Natural News. Illinois Democrat demands, now listen to this, the wording, Illinois Democrat demands concentration camps for anti-vaxxers and those who refuse forced government medications. Now, this, folks, this is right out the hot off the press. Of course, it's a female Democrat lawmaker from Illinois, Representative Deb Conroy, 46th District, has proposed a new law, HB 4640, that would empower the state of Illinois to round up anti-vaxxers at gunpoint and throw them into a state-run concentration camps for an indefinite period of time. This is entirely inconsistent with the authoritarian lunacy of Democrats, and especially female Democrats, who become raging, power-hungry, masked Karens who seek to rule over everyone. Here's the official bill, roughly. Bill of Park State Representative Deb Conroy wants to isolate or quarantine persons who are unable or unwilling. Now pay attention, folks, to the wording. Unable. Okay? Unable. Or unwilling to receive vaccines, medications, or other treatments. So if you can't help it, you can't have it some medical reason, you're not exempt. You still got to be locked up. HB 4640 is scheduled to be heard in the Illinois House Human Services Committee February 2nd at 9 o'clock a.m. If HB 4640 were to become law, persons exposed to an infectious disease to be placed under public health department observation, only possible in a contained atmosphere with department watch guards, some suggest, such as a concentration camp. The bill says to prevent the spread of a dangerously contagious or infectious disease, the public health department may, pursuant to the provisions of this subsection C of this section, isolate or quarantine persons who refuse or whose refusal to undergo observation and monitoring results in uncertainty regarding whether he or she had been exposed to be affected with a dangerously contagious or infectious disease or otherwise poses a danger to the public health. In other words, even if you haven't been, if they suspect you have been, they can take you in. The proposed law would also allow any local Illinois official to access the vaccine status of all individuals as a pretense to rounding up the unvaccinated and throwing them into COVID concentration camps. Mother, this is America. Something's happened to our country.
Wow.
This is a proposed bill. Can you imagine? And the good old Governor Chris Christie of South Dakota, bless her heart, signed a bill that passed the House and Senate that will protect, will make boys and girls, they don't play sports, play with a team with the same sex they were born as. I mean, I never thought I'd see laws that were passed to make sure boys play with boys and girls play with girls. I don't know. I'm rushing through the headline now because there's some more to cover here. Russia and China hail no limits partnership to stand up to U.S. It's out of Reuters, folks. China and Russia proclaimed a deep strategic partnership on Friday to balance what they portrayed as the malign global influence of the United States as China's President Xi Jinping hosted Russia's Vladimir Putin on the opening day of the Beijing Winter Olympics. In a joint statement, the two countries affirmed that their new relationship was superior to any political or military alliance of the Cold War era. Friendship between the two states has no limits. There is no forbidden areas of cooperation, they declared, announcing plans to collaborate in a host of areas including space, climate change, artificial intelligence, and control of the Internet. The agreement marked the most detailed and assertive statement of Russia and Chinese resolve to work together and against the United States to build a new international order based on their own interpretations of human rights and democracy. A strong team, if I was, would think Russia and China together is a pretty strong, organization. What do you think, Melody?
Yes, it's definitely a force to be reckoned with.
You know, so this is. I mean, we America has had her way this around the globe for so long, and the things she's done have been so wrong, and so callous and immoral, has come back to haunt them. That's all I can say. We're down about out of time. I do want to share one good news story, if you don't mind, Melody.
No, go right ahead.
This is so good. It is Friday. And, folks, you can watch this online. It's really good. You have to watch the video to really appreciate it. Philadelphia man rewards kids for helping elderly man off bus. A good deed by three young boys in Philadelphia was captured and filmed by a bystander. Richard Allen said he immediately took out his phone and started recording when he saw the boys helping an elderly man off the bus. And, folks, you got to watch that online. That is so touching. I mean, they helped him down, helped him get to his walker, helped him get picked his package off the ground. But anyway, I was on my phone and noticed a bus pulled over, and I see a group of kids helping an elderly man. Alan told ABC 6. I said, wow, I have to record this. Alan was so moved by that what the boys did, he decided to pay the kids for their actions. Hoping to spotlight the positivity, he posted it on social media. I want it to be basically get shared to a lot of different kids that actually see this video to want to do better. And he told me, he said as they were walking away, don't quit doing this, boys. Don't quit. You know, God bless you. And he said, God bless him. And the smallest boy held his hand, shook his hand and said, God bless you. I mean, it was a touching time. It is so refreshing just to see three young children, one on a bicycle and two of them walking, actually helping a gentleman off the bus. And this other black gentleman taking a video, giving a few dollars a piece, and said, "This is you bless this man. Now God's blessing you." Isn't that beautiful?
That really is nice. Yes.
You know, I mean, that's so. It's to weigh that in with the cat boy. I mean, it makes things a little easier to swallow. Now, folks, that was beautiful. I just had to share that. Okay, it's Friday, so I thought I'd share that with you. And I hope you all have a great weekend. And remember to call Melody up. I hope you'll do that. I truly, really hope you will. Give her a call at 800-375-4188. And I pray that I'm blessing her with my presence on the radio show with her to help her get the points across. This is a for real time we're living in, a time of unrest, uncertainty. Prepare yourself best you can for the future. That's just wise.
And we are at the end of the week, and we'll be back on Monday. So be safe out there, ladies and gentlemen. And until then, good night and God bless.
I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.